From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Climate change denialists have often made the claim that more research is needed to determine if fossil fuels are really warming the planet. The energy industry has been foremost among those fomenting uncertainty in order to protect their profits. But newly discovered internal documents from Royal Dutch Shell have revealed that the company's own internal research confirmed the science of global warming decades ago and then hid that knowledge. A Dutch journalist has unearthed the Shell report. It's from 1988, called the Greenhouse Effect. It not only calculated Shell's contribution to global warming, but anticipated that the company could be sued in the future over it. Shell joins Exxon in the growing list of oil corporations that knew very early on the disastrous consequences of their industry, suppressed those findings, and carried on for decades, reaping profits off of planetary destruction. My guest is Cassidy Craighill, media officer for Greenpeace USA, covering climate change and energy. Welcome to the program, Cassidy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So explain what it was that this report specifically found. This, I'm assuming, was done by Shell's own hired scientists?
Yes, it was a report titled The Greenhouse Effect. And basically what it did was calculate how much Shell was contributing to the global carbon dioxide emissions through its oil, natural gas, and coal products, and then to actually foresee how big this problem was going to get, and then also the social, economic, political, cultural context and consequences of that. So one of the key figures here is that these documents, these internal Shell documents, revealed that Shell was contributing 4% of the global carbon dioxide emissions, which is quite a lot for one company to be responsible for.
Wow. So this was done in 1988. Some of it used calculations from 1982. We're talking about the early 80s. I mean, I was not even 10 years old. It was just, you know, I'm thinking about you and I were children. Maybe you look younger than I am. You weren't even born at the time. That Shell knew that this was something that could be a problem. I mean, to have a report called The Greenhouse Effect, that's a pretty clear term. So does this document prove that Shell foresaw what we are now witnessing?
Yes, I would say that it basically does do that. It even goes as far as to predict the public and cultural backlash to climate change and to fossil fuel companies.
So it was a social science study, not just
absolutely.
Physics.
So there's even a section, and people can go through and read all of these actual documents. There's actually a part where they foresee an East Coast hurricane that would trigger a lot of public backlash. And of course, in the 2012 election, right before that, we had Superstorm Sandy that decimated the East Coast. So very, very eerie. And I think that not only does this, these documents reveal a lot about what Shell knew and concealed, this is only bolstering the evidence in pending and probably more legal action to come against Shell and other fossil fuel companies.
So this particular document, I mean, and we shouldn't be surprised, right? Because big companies like Shell, like Exxon, depend on knowing what the future looks like for their industry, depend on being able to predict. That's how they plan their industry. They plan their expansion. They plan their infrastructure around this. So they're constantly hiring scientists to try to project what the situation will be, project impacts and consequences. So we shouldn't be surprised that these companies have been studying this all along.
Right. I mean, this is a big concern for shareholders. And about a year ago, a different company, Exxon, its shareholders actually had a big revolt at their annual meeting in Dallas and passed a historic resolution that demanded the company account for climate change and its impact on Exxon's business model. And that was, you know, very ill-advised from Exxon's executives. It was not what they wanted, but the shareholders did it anyway. So these things are very important to these companies. Of course, you and I are thinking about the catastrophe that is climate change and its global impacts, but there is also a whole other side of this to audiences like shareholders who know that these products are not sustainable.
And Shell, you know, has, as I just want to go back to the predictions that this report, the greenhouse mm-hmm. effect, made. It's very eerie, as you were saying. They predicted, you know, back when the Kyoto Protocol was still a new thing, this report says, while climate change is not a high priority for most people early in the century, NGOs continue, early in the century, meaning 2000 and onwards, NGOs continue to lobby nonprofits against inaction on the Kyoto Protocol. In 2010, a series of violent storms causes extensive damage to the East Coast on the U.S., etc. And then they go on to talk about, following the storms, a coalition of environmental NGOs brings a class action lawsuit against the U.S. government and fossil fuel companies on the grounds of neglecting what scientists, including their own, have been saying for years, that something must be done. So they literally wrote the future. And that is essentially what has happened, right? There are a number of lawsuits. There's one notable one by young kids about the U.S. government violating their constitutional right to a safe future. And Shell predicted that it was going to have this liability. As far as you know, did Shell do anything about this?
No, it's really important to remember, because this is such a wild story to wrap your head around, is that what Shell knew internally and what Shell was saying externally are wildly different. So they were telling a very different story, even at the time of these internal reports were conducted in the late 80s, which was also the time that James Hansen actually first went to Congress to warn about global warming.
He's the NASA scientist turned leading climate activist. Yeah.
Right. And this was all in my lifetime. So those were the years, you know, that was the year I was born. And to think about how this is just now coming out, the political context that we're in now. So yes, it's very different how they operated publicly and then what they knew internally, which is the point of all of this. That's the problem. That is what harkens back to tobacco companies knowing about the link between lung cancer and its products and not disclosing that information.
And this is exactly what Shell also predicted. Again, part of this report, the report says, a social reaction to the use of fossil fuels grows and individuals become, quote, vigilante environmentalists in the same way a generation earlier they had become fiercely anti-tobacco. Direct action campaigns against companies escalate. Young consumers especially demand action. The power, auto, and oil industries see billions wiped off their market value overnight. They predicted a dystopian future for themselves. Can the fact that they made this prediction and then didn't do anything about it actually be used to hold Shell and other companies liable now?
100%. Shell is already, I believe you just mentioned that Shell's already facing legal threats on three different continents right now, including cases in the U.S., an investigation by the Commission of Human Rights in the Philippines. So there's a lot of legal action, and this is that already existed, and this is only going to bolster the case against Shell. One of the most damning quotes from these reports that I think can really come back to serve us some justice here was that 1988 report titled The Greenhouse Effect that says, and I quote, by the time global warming becomes detectable, it could be too late to take effective countermeasures to reduce the effects or even to stabilize the situation. So that's about as dystopian as it gets. And so to sit on this information for decades is unfathomable to most of us. And, you know, I would really love to know how the executives at Shell have been sleeping at night for nearly 30 years now.
And then to the public, how does Shell compare with other energy companies in accepting, or at least admitting in recent years, that climate change is real? Do they, like other companies, spend money on lobbying against climate research and adaptation?
Yes, you know, these companies are really not that different when it comes to their approach to this. And I, of course, it's easy to keep bringing up Exxon because they're such a poster child for all of this. But the formula generally goes, let's pay some lip service to something like the Paris Climate Agreement, which we can put statements out but don't have to do anything. And the president has already tried to pull out of that. So there's that kind of glossing over that happens a lot. There's things like fancy ads that make it look like they're very innovative and that they're investing all this money in renewable energy. So that is all sort of the public facing front, while at the same time, they're building new fossil fuel infrastructure that's going to lock us in to even more decades of carbon pollution. So that is generally the way all of these companies operate. And it goes to show you they haven't learned anything from knowing about the severity of climate change for so long without having done anything about it. And now they're trying to sort of gloss their way out of it with fancy ads and statements about supporting the Paris Agreement while continuing to sell oil, coal, and gas products.
I mean, at the very least now, Exxon, whose documents were revealed some years ago, similar to the Shell research and Shell, Exxon and Shell now, simply cannot continue to deny climate change. To me, these documents are a massive vindication of the work that climate scientists, environmental justice activists like yourself, and all of us who have been harping on about climate change for years. It's a massive vindication for us because you have, you know, very, very well-funded so-called think tanks like the Heritage Foundation and these right-wing organizations, industry groups that constantly try to throw doubt on climate science. But the very companies that their denialism protects have proved our case, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, in a lot of ways, these Shell reports are worse than even I could have imagined. Predicting the public backlash is like I had said earlier, I just can't think of a better word to describe it. It's very eerie. And at the very least, I do not want to disappoint them in that arena.
Right. Activists can help them really meet their prediction and make it come true.
Right. Absolutely.
So what happens now? You said there are existing lawsuits that would be bolstered by these documents. Are there any new lawsuits that could be triggered by this?
Yes, I think there could be some. The Greenpeace Netherlands office, since I think as you had mentioned, this was a Dutch journalist that broke this story, they'll be filing a lawsuit soon as well as Friends of the Earth Netherlands.
And because of mergers, Shell, what was once Shell is now Royal Dutch Shell. So is this technically mm-hmm. now a Dutch company?
That's a good question. I'm not actually sure the mechanics of who they would
right.
file it against. There are kind of several different legal actions now that are that kind of group in several oil companies as well. So I'd mentioned the Human Rights Commission in the Philippines. That is a very kind of global look at all of this. But there's also really specific cases in the U.S. Against Exxon and oil companies that we're seeing from attorneys general in Massachusetts and New York. So we could certainly have more of those. If this was a different political context, I think the pie in the sky dream would be a Department of Justice investigation. I do not think that we're going to see that out of the Sessions
right.
Department of Justice. But just to give people an idea of how far this could potentially go. So it kind of ranges from these global human rights cases to really specific investigations from state attorneys general. And all of that is really critical and really helps.
So Exxon knew, Shell knew, very likely other major companies knew as well, and have been relying on the silence, the sort of collective silence of the entire industry to continue reaping their profits. What about the part of their prediction that these companies would see billions wiped off of their market value overnight? I know that there are divestment campaigns going on, but can a document like this help make that prediction come true as well?
Yeah, I think I had mentioned the shareholder revolts, which was just a few, last May for Exxon. I think that we can see more of that. That type of work is not something that probably activists are always used to. It's a little bit, having to pay attention to these sometimes kind of dry annual shareholder meetings, but they can be very, very important. And they can also really steer a company one way or the other. And the shareholders are really getting it. And they know that climate change is real. And they know that the current business model for these companies like Shell and Exxon is not going to work. So I think when it comes to the profits, when it comes to these businesses actually seeing a bottom line impact, that some of those shareholder decisions are really important. And we'll probably see more of those and can always put more pressure on that audience.
This should be front page news. It should be massive, creating massive headlines all over the country, the world. I'm seeing one article in the Washington Post, The Guardian in the UK has a little bit about it, almost nothing else. What do you make of the media silence on this issue?
Well, I mean, I could say this any week of the year, but there's so much else going on in terms of the environmental world. We're also seeing the total collapse of Scott Pruitt, not to mention the actual policies put forward by the EPA and Scott Pruitt that is dominating a lot of the just environmental headlines and should also be paid attention to. So I think that we're seeing this story really circulate among places like Inside Climate News and just big kind of climate media outlets. But you're right, it should be more in the mainstream, and people should know that, hey, these companies are actually really accountable for this, and we're getting more and more evidence around it. I think that the more we see lawsuits come out, we can see more coverage. So I think it's up to people to keep sharing this news, to keep copying and pasting some of the sentences from these reports because they're almost too good to even believe.
Yes.
And sharing on social media, the hashtags Exxon New and Shell New are really popular, and you can find a ton of people sharing information from that on Twitter. There's always protests going on at attorney general's offices when things like this flare up. So things like that can always happen. So it's really important just to keep sharing this news and writing letters to the editor, contacting whatever your state paper is to get them to cover this a little bit more because it impacts all of us. And it's
Yeah,
really important
it
to
makes for
have it out there.
dramatic reading, and Shell's fear of the future is something that can be an aspirational goal for environmental activists all over the country and world. Cassidy, where's a good place for people to find out more about the work of Greenpeace and also these maybe read these documents themselves so that they can proliferate them through social media?
Yeah, so I would recommend climateinvestigations.org as a great place to really dig into these documents if you want to kind of read all this for yourself. Like I said, some of it's really hard to believe is actually in there. They are a great resource for all kinds of research like this, and they really helped break this story. So please visit them if you want to dig a little bit more. Greenpeace.org is also a great place to visit, particularly to dig into a lot of the Exxon New side of this, and also see some of our past work against Shell's actual fossil fuel projects. So either one of those I would really recommend.
We'll post those links on our website in case you missed them. Thank you so much, Cassidy, for your work. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Cassidy Craighill, Media Officer for Greenpeace USA, covering climate change and energy. We've been discussing newly unearthed documents from 1988 that reveal what Shell knew about climate change. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, find out more about us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.